of a young perspective.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Deanna Reeder, and this is Blog Talk Radio. We had a show tonight, and the topic went over, so we never did get to recap the City Council meeting from Tuesday. So tonight is probably going to be a shorter than normal show, and I've asked a couple of people that were at the City Council meeting to come on here and tell us their impressions of the City Council meeting this past Tuesday. Donovan, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, this is Donovan Sadiq. He ran for City Council. He has been active at City Council meetings. He's been a speaker, and we welcome his input. I also invited Scott Heverin to be here. He's a little shyer, so he doesn't know if he wants to talk too much, but I asked him to come on anyway.
Well, Happy New Year, Deanna, and good evening.
Good evening, and thank you both so much for coming on. I appreciate it. And the reason I wanted a couple of other people here was because I did not actually get to the City Council meeting. I had a couple of emergencies this week, and Tuesday ended up being one of those days where I just could not get there. Now, I was at the meeting before that, and I know there was a lot of not-on-agenda comment speakers, and I believe that's what happened at this meeting. So, Donovan, you want to start us out and tell us what you thought about the not-on-agenda comments and how they went?
Well, you know, like I said, once again, Reno Valley is very unique lately for its meetings and its city council get-togethers, but the a lot of the agenda items that weren't on the agenda, one that really piqued my interest, and I believe Scott was going to talk on it as well, is the what was on A6 in the approval and the purchase agreement between Whitney PowerPoint Solar and Power and Water Resources Pooling Authority. And that had pretty much to do with the city buying power from this this entity, and I think that's going to be very important because it brings up a lot of topics in regards to what we're paying and what we're getting in regards to the power. And I believe, Deanna, you would know a little bit more about that particular issue, because I don't think a lot of people understand that the city has its own power company. And
Right. The city has Moreno Valley Utility. Now, before the meeting, I had actually sent an email to I sent a couple of emails because I had one question to begin with, but after I went through the contract, because the agenda item was actually to approve the contract to use this company as a power source for in the utility. And in the staff report, it said that the city was going to pay this utility no more than $60 per megawatt hour. And a megawatt hour is 1,000 kilowatt hours. So that's a good thing. Otherwise, it's like a blank check. But when I went through and looked at the actual contract, it didn't say that there was a maximum that was going to be paid. They had a formula, and in the formula, it referred to it later in the contract, and it said redacted trade secret information. So.
Right.
Which I'm, you know, they can have their trade secrets, but we need to know they're paying a maximum amount, because if they're paying more than what they're charging, you know, Moreno Valley Utility customers, that's a loss to the city. And in the contract, I thought it was very interesting that it named the city as the purchaser and on the contract and not the Moreno Valley Utility. And so I had to ask about that. And I believe it had been asked before if the city was on the hook for anything that the utility did. And actually, I got an answer to that, and that is that, yes, the utility is an extension of the Public Works Department, and it is the city, and the utility are basically the same entity. So that clarified that. So I had some concerns. I don't know who else had some concerns, but they did call me on Tuesday to tell me that they were pulling the item, and it will be back on the agenda for the 27th.
Right. So, yeah, that was kind of a thing. You know, you would think that, you know, they keep putting, I know we're in a new year and everything like that's happening, and we have a lot of issues that are coming up on the council next week, being the 27th with the next city council meeting with the Prologis vote and everything like that. So there's a lot of stuff that's being pushed back that, in my opinion, I don't know if it's to delay, to, you know, get us looking in another direction and not concentrating on certain things like this power issue, which, again, I wasn't even aware that the city had its own power source. And I think it's important that a lot of people know that, you know, are we getting the best bang for our buck if we're going to be buying power from this other entity?
Well, and it's also a 20-year contract. So, did you have something to add, Scott?
Yes, I'm sorry, Dana. There is a requirement by law that the utility doesn't produce anything. It buys electricity on the open market and then it sells it back to its customers at an increase so that it can, operate. The thing about the utility company is there's a law that states that it has to buy so much of it from renewable. There's a percentage, and the contract was put out to this company in order to meet that. The utility company doesn't produce anything. It could actually produce electricity inside the city. Distributed electricity generation is something that makes sense instead of buying electricity from Colorado and shipping it over here to our grid. We should really concentrate on producing more energy and putting it back into the grid. It's really something that Marina Valley needs to look at. We have the utility, and that's kind of what I wanted to speak. Why they pulled it, it was all staff's idea to pull it. The council didn't even see it coming. Why they didn't really give a reason, just that they were in maybe renegotiating. I think I heard something like that.
Well, I don't know if they intended to renegotiate the contract, but they left off key information from the contract because in the staff report it said that the contract would be for no more than $60 per megawatt hour, and there's 1,000 kilowatt hours and a megawatt hour. So if you take that 60 and divide it, you're paying, 6 cents per kilowatt hour. Mm-hmm. And Moreno Valley Utility, because I am on Moreno Valley Utility, so I looked at my electric bill, they charge customers about 11 cents per kilowatt hour. So that is not quite double what they're paying for the power. Now, granted, the city utility cannot actually make a profit because what they can do is, because we're a general law city, so the state laws pertain to us, and so they actually can't make a profit. What they can do is charge enough to actually fund the service itself. Whatever it costs to buy it, whatever it costs for the payroll, whatever it costs for the building, that they house the people in, whatever it costs to do the billing, that stuff are costs. So they can pay for, they can make enough to pay for that, but they can't make a profit on top of it. However, when you're buying something and reselling it, about 50% is the minimum markup that they need. And it's just a little bit less than that if it's the $60 per megawatt hour. But if it's not in the contract and it doesn't specify $60 per megawatt hour, how do we know it's not going to be $200 that we're going to end up paying per megawatt hour? And then what's going to happen when we're charging customers, and we're actually charging them less than what we're paying for it? So it's important for that information to be in a contract.
And the prices fluctuate. I mean, if energy, explain how much it's fluctuated. You know, you're looking at a 20-year purchasing agreement. That seems to me like long-term, tying all of, you know. The problem with this city, they focus on one thing and then they, you know, all on it.
Well, the other thing, too, if you read through it, is this is actually a startup solar company, and it is not even going to be online until November of 2016. By December of 2016, that's when the law kicks in that utilities must get 25% of their power from renewable sources. And so this solar company, it is considered a renewable source, so it would count towards that. But it is expected to be online 1 month before we have to have the power from it. And just knowing, you know, anything, the best laid plans, that just, to me, is cutting it a little close as well.
In 10 years from now, I mean, this would be heaven for me. Every rooftop could be covered with solar panels. Now, I'm just extrapolating this from my own home, which right now has solar panels on half the roof. I produce all the power that I use in my house. If you extrapolated that to every rooftop in the city, you would produce enough power to power the city. Now, then you take the buildings that are empty. They're generating power as well. That should be the goal of this utility, is to have us be self-sufficient. You could have Moreno Valley exporting power. If you really wanted to, that could be a goal of yours. The city's utility is built on an antiquated philosophy, in my opinion, of a utility company, and it's a monopoly, really. I mean, it's not like you have a choice. You have your utility company, I have Edison. There's no choice. I couldn't become a member of Moreno Valley Utility because I'm bound to Edison. It's but like what you said about the utility company, it's not designed to make a profit. It's a public utility. The public really owns it.
Right. It's not like Edison, who mm-hmm. is designed to make a profit for its stockholders. You know, in a right. municipal utility, when the city owns it, it's only meant to provide the service for that particular city. I don't know that a city-owned utility would be able to provide service to any other city. That's an interesting question.
Well, I'm thinking more in storage of energy and then going ahead and, you know, I'm looking more towards high-tech end of the, not just everybody having solar panels on their house. I mean, that would be amazing. I mean, that would really put Moreno Valley on the map for something good, being energy independent like that. But bringing the high-tech jobs that produce the batteries, that do the research for it, I mean, renewable energy is the fastest growing sector in the energy. And that includes fracking and oil extraction and all of that. It's the fastest growing. And that's because it's new. And like with all new technology, it's only going to get better. It really is in the infancy.
I agree.
Moreno Valley, we have a chance to get in front of it. We really did. We got a chance to get in front of them. I really wish we could.
Okay, well, now that...
set up.
Well, but you know what? We can look forward and see what we can do. Now, what about the rest of the meeting? Any the other agenda items that you thought had a lot of interest?
Well, you know, if you're asking me, I, you know, we are. It's easy to criticize, you know, things that we think that's going wrong in the city. But I have to. One thing that I've been really impressed in the time that I've been attending the meetings is the diverse the diversity of the invocation by the different religious groups and things like that. Tom Gerald kind of spoke on that as well. That you know, we're having all these different denominations and religions come in to do the invocation, which is showing a lot of diversity within our city, and I think that's a great thing. But since this was a special meeting with the swearing in of Mayor Molina and Pro Tem Gutierrez, I thought it was very interesting that in Molina's opening comments that he's talking about, you know, coming together and working together as a team and moving forward. And he also quoted the great Vince Lombardi about teamwork, and which goes into, I believe, item G or E, or where the one with the appointments of the council, to where there was a controversy and with George Price and LaDonna Jensen not actually being put on certain committees, that it seemed like it was just evident that, you know, and I'm not saying anything that you have to be an expert or something, but Mr. Gutierrez, being a younger person, and age has nothing to do with it, I just think it's just where, you know, an important appointment like the March Joint Powers, why wouldn't you put an experienced former city employee who has contacts like George Price on the March Joint Powers, because he seems to have a history with it, knows some of the people there. But it seemed like all the influential committee spots went to Molina, Gutierrez, or Gaiba, and I thought that was very interesting in the item. And what was more interesting about it, and it caught me by surprise, is LaDonna Jensen voted to approve, even though, you know, they have their majority. She voted with the 3-0 club, in my opinion, to approve the these committees, and it didn't make sense that she did that, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, let me give you just
very. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, go ahead, and then I'll.
Very political. It's a very political move, and I believe even Jesse Molina stated as much that that you know, it's because the way they voted for him for mayor, so they get the committees that they want. He didn't give George Price the committee he wanted. He didn't give LaDonna Jensen the committee that she wanted. It appeared that he didn't communicate with them. But with Councilman Jensen voting for the committee assignments, it was going to happen anyway. I'm not saying that I agree with the committee assignments. She may be happy with the assignment that she has. They did get committees. They were appointed to conservation committees, I believe, two of them, and maybe it's an alternate. It really shouldn't surprise anybody.
Well, let me give you guys just a little bit of background along with the listeners. And right after Jesse Molina was elected, he was put on the RCTC commission. And I actually went to some meetings that he was on the commission, and he never once gave any input. He never contributed to the conversation or any of the issues whatsoever. He didn't say anything at any of the meetings. He either voted or abstained from voting. Bonnie Flickinger, when she became mayor, because the mayor has the absolute power to make the committee assignments, she took him off the RCTC commission, and he was very upset. And he basically was told that it is the mayor's prerogative, and if he didn't like it, too bad. So he has some leftover anger, if you will. I personally don't think he actually gave anything to the community. I mean, he really just didn't do anything when he was there. But I'm sure that is why Ms. Lickinger took him off, but it angered him very, very much. So part of what you're seeing is retribution from past what Jesse Molina feels was being wronged when that happened. And he found out there was nothing he could do about it. There just is nothing. There's no recourse. It's in the description of the mayor to make those assignments, and he does have that prerogative. So I think LaDonna's quote from the paper was, you know what, you really got to pick your battles. And the truth is there's nothing that her vote would have changed had she voted against it. So sometimes you kind of have to pick and choose what's important. And so I can't say that I feel any different about her because she voted like that, because there really was no reason for her to vote no. It really wouldn't have made any difference in this case. And, you know, if she said, you know what, I think this is wrong, or she stood up, and I believe that, you know, she said she was unhappy with it, but not everybody understands that some of these positions get paid like $100 to $150 per meeting that they go to, and some of the other committee appointments don't pay anything. You just, you know, show up on your own time. And so Owings always made sure he got all the paid ones. I think he put in most of them. And so it's partly a power thing, and it's partly they can decide who gets money, because sometimes on the March Joint Powers, even though there's one meeting a month, they also have a study session meeting and, you know, another one. So you can go to some of these meetings up to four meetings a month. So that's an extra, you know, $400 to $600 possibly from some of these committee appointments. And the public doesn't really understand that.
All right. But, you know, like I said, you know, it's to me, it's like an oxymoron to say that we got to work together as a team. And it just doesn't seem in the last two council meetings that, you know, he's saying one thing, but his actions are showing another. If we're going to, you know, come together as a city and move forward, you know, there's got, you know, it starts with leadership, in my opinion, from Mayor Molina. And if he doesn't show putting out his hand and saying, let's move forward, I mean, some of the steps that have been he's taken in the last two meetings, it just doesn't seem that there's going to be any reconciliation between the two opposing sides. And it's, you know, and that's just a sad thing to see, because, you know, everybody's looking at what's going on, and, you know, there's going to be another election in 2 years, and, you know, everything's being scrutinized, and it just doesn't seem like, you know, things are coming together. Basil Kimbrew, some of the speakers that spoke, and once again, the second meeting in a row, we had a lot of young people come out. And Deanna, your name was mentioned a few times there, and because I guess the last time some of the speakers didn't identify themselves as Highland Fairview employees, and you brought that to some of the readers on Facebook and the radio show's attention, and a few of them this time identified themselves, which, you know, it's neither here nor there, but everybody knows. Just identify yourself, and it doesn't make you look as bad by, you know, saying you support this, support that, even though I have my reservations, even if some of them live in the city. So, but your name was brought up.
Donovan, I'm glad you brought that up about the youth. One of the other speakers mentioned something that I might have been deriding the youth. And you know what? If Highland Fairview's paying these kids to come out, you know, it might be a gray issue, but I like to see the kids there. I really like to see people come out and speak. I really don't agree with what they're saying, but I really don't want to discourage any of them from coming. You know what I'm saying?
And oh, absolutely. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm.
if any of that comes, it was out of awe that I spoke about him at all, because just to see young kids come up and take an interest, logistics was the last thing I thought the youth were passionate. I have a couple of teenagers at home, and it's hard for me to get them interested in things that, you know, are political in nature. And to see these kids with such a passion, it's a double-edged sword. I really don't like what they're passionate for, but I like that they're out there.
Well, oh, absolutely. Like, I don't mean to cut you off, but I agree. Like I said, I've been here 38 years, and when I was a kid about their age, there was nothing out here. So it isn't that I'm not for them being there. It's just the idea of I do sympathize with them, but, you know, for everything that is good, too much of a good thing is also bad. So, they got to, you know, I just want them to see both sides of it, you know, and everything can't be one way. And this city, we have an attitude of my way or no way. And, you know, I'm not anti-warehouse. My thing is, let's diversify. And I've been saying that, me and Scott talked about that earlier, but seeing the youth come out, I'm all encouraged by that, because, you know, they do need to start getting involved, because we can't keep relying on the same people who helped start the city. You know, these people are grandparents and moving on. So I'm encouraged by these kids coming out.
Well, the reason I brought out that they were paid by Highland Fairview is, it goes to motive. If they had not been hired by Highland Fairview and paid to say this spiel walking through the districts in the city, would they be coming up to the city and saying this? And my opinion is no, they wouldn't be. The only reason they are there is because they got paid to say these spiels door to door when they went to the three districts that were balloting this past November. And so I guess I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I'm right, because I've been going to city council meetings for a while, and generally people only show up to city council meetings when there's something of interest to them. You know, there's a very few people that go meeting after meeting after meeting, which, Donovan, you've been going to, I believe, all the meetings for a while. Scott, you've been going to all the meetings for a while. And I've been going to meetings for quite a while, too. So question their motives. So, I have no problem with them getting involved. But I personally feel that if there wasn't a paycheck involved, I don't think that they would have ever come to a city council meeting and talked about this stuff. And we only have a couple of minutes left. So, is there anything that you guys thought was real important at the meeting?
I would like to just finish up by saying that, you know, there's an obvious divide in the council, and it lies in the districts, between the districts where the recalls went through and where the recalls weren't involved. And there was a clear consensus in District 3 and in District 5. That the recall was needed, and that we needed to put somebody else in there to represent the people. There was never an election in District 1 since before the corruption probe. There hasn't been they haven't even had a choice to chime in. District 2 and District 4, they just had recent elections. It wasn't a majority. The majority never spoke for anything. The problem is that the city is being run by these three districts where they haven't really been educated. They don't know as much as what the other districts know what's going on in the city. And that's the battle we're facing right now.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, we have just about a minute left, so I'm going to announce that next week we're going to have our regular show on Wednesday at 8 o'clock like normal. But because there's no city council meeting the following week, it's already reached past one, our conversation is going to be basically on the World Logistics Center, and I've invited a couple of other people to come and speak, and I'm inviting all the listeners to tune in and to call in. The number to call in as a guest is 646-929-0610. If you have questions you want to ask on the show, you can email me at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com. And I will ask those questions on the air. We will try and discuss them. But we need to get people more involved, and I think it's disconcerting for the public to see so many people going that have been in Benzivi's court. And we are just about out of time, so guys, we're going to have to say goodnight, Moreno Valley.
Good night, Moreno Valley.
And thank
good
you for being on
the... Good night, Dana.
Thank you, listeners, and till next week.